You always say you never coach penalties, but when you see a spike with offensive pass interference, Rob, when he had Madden one for 2 years, I'm wondering what kind of adjustments you coach, you teach, whatever, midway through the season to kind of address that.
Yeah, well, now it's on midway through the season. We've been talking about it since the first day of training camp. So we coach the rule, and we know we got to do a better job of it, obviously.
Do you see it as something that maybe is being enforced differently than it has been in the years past? Or
I'd say the whole offensive pass interference, forget about, not with respect to any individual player. I'd say week in and week out that it's being called more frequently, but I would say with more consistency. And I think that the officials really have done a good job in cleaning up that whole rule. And I'm not saying that, you know, nothing's perfect. Like, we're not perfect. They're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But I think there's a lot more consistency to the way that that rule in general is being officiated. And there's a lot of elements to it. There's the pick rule. There's the, you know, pushing off rule. There's, you know, there's the end zone kind of, you know, jump ball kind of thing, you know, like we had in the Indianapolis game. So there's a lot of different situations that I would say, you know, go into that, whether it's the top of the route, whether it's a pick at the line of scrimmage, or whether it's a, you know, jump ball kind of sit. But again, regardless of what it is, I think that the officials have done a pretty consistent job with that. It's being called a lot more than it has been in the past in terms of frequency, and we just got to do a better job of coaching it.
And one more on that subject, and that is Rob is obviously a very bright player. Do you sense that he, when you tell him, he gets it right away when you show him on film, yeah, this is what I did? And I assume that's a big part of teaching kind of improvement.
Yeah, I'd say Rob has definitely changed the way that, you know, he's dealt with contact on those plays. And look, I mean, I'm not saying I agree with every call. I think there's some plays that are, you know, clearly penalties. There are the plays that are kind of in the gray. And then there are some plays that, as a coach, you say, you know, what's the guy supposed to do? You know, this is, you know, he's doing everything he's coached to be. He's being coached to do. He's using the proper technique. This is the way we understand the rule. What, you know, what, how can we prevent this? You know, and I'd say Rob has done a really good job of trying to play within the rules and use techniques that are not illegal, you know, that don't bring those calls. Now, again, you know, we've had a couple of them, but, you know, I don't think they're the type of calls where you look at it and say, well, you know, they have to call this. It's just, you know, you can't do that. It's somewhere in that, you know, gray area of, but it's over the line. So we got to do a better job coaching it.
Well, I remember saying earlier this week that you guys had actually practiced that final kickoff play in the Giants game.
I think we practiced it in the maybe down in New Orleans. We've got, you know, we practiced it, but it was in terms of actually talking about it. We talked about it prior to the game, prior to the Giants game. But in terms of practicing it, you know, again, those kind of plays, you practice them every, you know, maybe once a month, maybe once every 6 weeks, and you kind of cycle through them, and then you get to, you know, it's been 5-6 weeks since we practiced that type of a play, and then, you know, you go back and hit it again. It's not, those aren't the kind of things you do every week.
That was sort of my question was,
situations
are so unpredictable. Do you just go by the calendar and say, we haven't worked on this in a while, let's do that, or is it based on what the other team has shown me?
Yeah, both. I mean, both. Yeah. I mean, with the Giants, you know, they're a team that has done that before, and they've actually done it with success. So it's something that you kind of have on your radar with a team like that anyway, whether it's from scrimmage or whether it be on a return. So that's – and I think if you have a team that has, you know, a history or, you know, some type of trend of doing a certain thing, then, you know, you hit it that week for sure because that's kind of on your checklist. But just, you know, again, procedurally, I mean, there's, you know, there's 1,000 plays that can happen at the end of the game. We can't practice every one of those plays every week. But same thing in the kicking game. You start getting into the kicking game, I mean, there's, you know, 100 situations in the kicking game that are kind of, if the play comes up once a season, it would be a lot. But they come up. So, again, it's, you know, you hit those on a, infrequent basis, but try to make sure that you cover them so that if it does come up, you know how to handle it.
Is there anything that the Bills have done in particular this year that they've shown that has been something new for you guys to absorb and try to...
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I mean, they'll... Yeah, when we get to, tomorrow... Well, today would be a normal Friday for us, but tomorrow be a normal Friday or sometimes on the Saturday walkthrough or Saturday film. Yeah, we'll hit situations that have either come up with them that we've seen, like, okay, here's what they did in this situation, or talk about, well, in the past, this is something that, Coach Roman did, maybe when he was at San Francisco, or, that Danny did, who, has, we have a history with him, and he's been at ball, in special teams or, whatever it is. So, yeah, that's part of the whole, situational preparation.
Coach, back to the Giants game for a second. You watch Stork recover that fumble.
Yeah, it was a big play.
It was. It just occurred to me that, I think about it a lot, football players, players who have instinct, like Tom, seems like a you know what I'm saying? Players who really have a feel for what's going on in a game and what anticipation. And there have been some players there that fall into that mold.
And some guys just have a way of kind of finding the ball. I mean, I don't really know how they, necessarily, it's not one particular thing, but, a guy like Brewski, just Vrabel, Ninkovich. I mean, those guys they have a lot of production on the ball, and it's all different. It's strip sacks, it's fumbles, it's fumble recoveries, it's interceptions, it's tip balls, it's a whole random variety of things, but somehow they just seem to, find their way. You say the ball finds them, or they find the ball, however you want to look at it. So, I think that's something that you... Same thing with these defensive backs. Some of these guys, they really just have great anticipation and awareness. And, I mean, look, you don't get, 40, 50, 60 career interceptions, the Ty Laws and the Everson Walls and, guys like that without having some instincts. It's not just all good hands or, coverage techniques or whatever. Somewhere along the line, they just, have that sense that puts them in the right spot, and they have the ball skills, because actually finishing the play and getting the ball, whether it's recovering a fumble or intercepting a pass or whatever, you've got to have that hand-eye coordination. The ball takes a lot of funny bounces, and, there's... Now, when you look at an offensive lineman, I don't think you really, think of a guy like, Stork or Marcus Cannon or whoever in that category. A lot of that's effort, too. Just hustle and effort, and the more guys you have around the ball, the better chance you have of getting it.
Looks like Hightower's slimmed down a little bit since last year. I think he's actually listed as being 5 pounds lighter. Have you noticed that too, and have you seen that make kind of a difference in just his agility and his ability to get to spots on the field this season?
I'd say the bigger drop for High was a year ago, was from the 13 season. I think this year, last year to this year, has been, pretty consistent. I mean, look, this, I don't even know what the weights are, and I don't know who puts them there. I don't know where they come. Honestly, I'm not, and again, look, we weigh guys in on a regular basis, and their weight fluctuates. I mean, you could, pick out a guy, and, he's 315, he might be 310, he might be 320, so that stuff kind of... You talk about guys that are in the, 260, 280, 320, 350 range. I mean, there's definitely some fluctuation there. And we monitor on a regular basis. So I can't imagine, somebody put something in a, program, what it was at whatever point that weight was taken. I'm not saying it wasn't an accurate weight at that point, but who knows what it is now. And honestly, that's something that we monitor just in terms of our... when we evaluate personnel, part of our pro personnel evaluation, okay, so the guy comes out of college, he goes to the combine, and he weighs in, which those weights are, they're misleading too, but that's a whole nother story. So whatever the weight is there, but then as the guy goes through the league, you know, I mean, what their weight was at Indy and what their weight is a lot of times two different things. So, you know, we kind of try to keep track of that because it to a degree it is important. You know, I mean, when Ted Washington came out of Louisville, it was 295. 295. Yeah, I mean, I know that's hard to believe, but he was 295. So, you know, what Ted was when we had Ted and what Ted was when I went down and worked him out at Louisville, I mean, it was the same player, but it wasn't the same player at all. Now, that was an extreme example, but, you know, it's not that far-fetched. But in High's case, I would say his weight came down from what it was in the 13 season. And this year has been more in line with last year. And I'd say there's no question that he's, you know, quicker, more active, and has still been able to maintain, you know, a good level of power and strength. I mean, I don't think he's really lost any of that.
So at the end of the season, do you guys kind of sit down with players and say, we want you to get to this weight or anything like that?
No. Look, we do that on a regular basis. Okay, so like wherever you want to start, let's say we start the season in April. Okay, that's not every player is here in April, but let's just say it starts in April. Okay, we sit down with that player in April and say, okay, look, here's what we want you to do in the off-season program. You know, weight, conditioning, technique, position, whatever it is. Here's what we want you to concentrate on. We get to the end of that, say, okay, look, here was your off-season. You did this well. You need to do a better job of this. Okay, now we're heading into training camp. Here's what we want you to do. This, and that. All right, we get to the end of the training camp. Okay, you did a good job of this. Still need to work on that. You know, this is better. This still needs to be improved. Conditioning, weight, strength, flexibility, et cetera. We get to somewhere in the midpoint of the season, and we sit down and have the same conversation. Look, this is what we told you at the beginning of the year. You've done a great job of this. You still need to do better at this, and that. Here's what you need to do. Strength, flexibility, conditioning, weight, et cetera. Injuries may play a part of some of those discussions. We get to the end of the year, somewhere close to the end of the year. All right, look, we have X number of weeks to go. Here's what we need from you to last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is. Here's what we need to concentrate on. Did a good job of this, that, and the other thing, but now we're into a different, you know, here's what we need to do. So, I mean, we do it on a regular basis. Like, we're not going to sit around here and waste a whole year and then say, oh, okay, let's have a meeting and, like, all right, we think you ought to do this. I mean, it's, you know, we're going to have a meeting every day, but there are certainly different points of the year where you can. And we do that with our entire team, too. It's each individual player. It's each coach, each position, each unit, offense, defense, special team, running game, passing game, you know, kickoff return, punt coverage, whatever it is, that we evaluate those at various points. And, okay, how are we doing? We're all right on this. We're not so good on this. You know, we need to make this change, whatever. So it's, we're our own R&D team. We can't, you know, hire some consultant to come in here and, you know, like a company can do, and all right, let's take a look at this, and you guys do a study on that, and tell us this, tell us that. I mean, you know, who's going to do that?
Do you guys taper?
I mean, I assume tapering is a pretty common procedure or practice in a lot of sports. You know, make sure you're at your optimum strength at the end of the season. Is there a lot of emphasis on making sure of that?
Well, there could be. I mean, it depends on the situation. And it depends on the player. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, some players that need more. Some players that need less. Some players that, and again, I think that's, you know, and it's not just each player, it's the team. I mean, even some guys that maybe are okay at where they're at, they need to work with their teammates. And so, I mean, we just can't put, you know, 11 guys out there that have never worked together. So, in the end, we try to do what's best for the team, whatever that is. If it's work more, if it's work less, if it's taper down, if it's, you know, however we set the practice schedule, whatever. We can't do everything. We try to pick out the things that are most important, have the most impact, and do what we think is best. And sometimes doing what's best for one guy isn't what's best for another guy, but I don't know how else you can run a team. I mean, you know, it's not like we got a, you know, tennis team with 9 guys, you know, playing their own singles match. You know, it's like that we got to work together. So,
those
Good. I think the last maybe, I don't know, 6 weeks or so, I've been, you know, really a kind of a significant incline for him. I mean, not that it was ever bad. I'm not saying that. I think his progress was, you know, training camp, early part of the season, different techniques, new defense, you know, a lot of adjustments. But I'd say over the last maybe, I don't know, like 6 weeks, somewhere in that near area, that, you know, his play has improved in everything. You know, his aggressiveness, his reactions, his communication, you know, adjustments that, you know, he has to make, like after the ball snap, things that happen, those kind of things. So he's really done a good job. He's worked hard, and he's, you know, taken the experience that he's had and he's built on it. It's become, you know, a positive. Some, you know, guys make mistakes and then they show up again. He's, you know, been able to correct a lot of those things and, you know, really take his game to a, I'd say, a much higher level here, you know, in the last, I don't know, you know, a few weeks.
Coach, how does Garoppolo's athletic skills translate in practice with duplicating Tyrod Taylor?
Jimmy's a good athlete. I mean, we've had several quarterbacks like that this year, you know, that we've played against that, you know, have run well, you know, Bortles and, you know, obviously Taylor, and go right down the line. So, you know, when those situations come out and teams that run those kind of plays, bootlegs or quarterback keeps or even just loose scramble plays, you know, he gives us a great look on those, you know, and throwing the ball too. You know, some of it's running around. Sometimes we've done things like put a receiver back there, you know, to run around, which is good for the defensive line or the pass rush to, you know, see a player that has like that kind of quickness, like when we played against Flutie or somebody like that. You know, I can remember putting whoever our quickest player was, you know, back there to, you know, run around to simulate, you know, the pass rush and how, you know, how hard it was to contain him. But then you couldn't throw the ball, you know, and you didn't get the look down the field, or, you know, the defensive backs would see, you know, a receiver in a game at quarterback. And again, that was good for the line, but, you know, I couldn't throw the ball 20 yards downfield. So, you know, but with Jimmy, obviously it's a different story, you know, so he's given us a great look on the passing part of it, but also the running part of it. And again, you know, those players are smart. They run when they can run. They don't run when there's nowhere to run, you know, and there's nowhere to run, they'll throw. But if you give them a spot to run, then, you know, unless they have a great passing opportunity, they'll take advantage of it. So I think that's really the key, you know, for us to, you know, if we have the player contained, he's probably not going to try to run too much. If we don't, then we're vulnerable and he's going to get us. So it's having the guy who can make that right decision and really, you know, give you that realistic look of, oh, we don't really have it, and he hurts us with it. Whereas sometimes you're coaching on the film in practice and, you know, you're saying, well, you know, if we were playing against this guy and this happened, this is what he's going to do, but we can't really do that, so that the players never really get that they hear it, but they don't really experience it. So, no, but Jimmy's done a good job of that. And he moves, he's very athletic. He's fast and he's got good quickness. And he obviously can throw the ball, so, you know, it brings all those elements into it.
I'm wondering if you could describe Matt Patricia's coaching style, and I guess in particular, how he does in terms of relating to his players.
Good. Yeah, good. I mean, Matt's really smart. You know, he's had a lot of different experiences. You know, he's coached in college, coached on the offensive side of the ball, coached on the defensive side of the ball. You know, he's been in this situation, this program for a long time, so he has a pretty good understanding of, you know, historically things, you know, the Rabels and the Brewskis and, you know, the Troy Browns and, you know, all things like that that can, you know, have some relationship to sometimes current situations. You know, he's really smart. I mean, this guy could probably, you know, build a plane and fly it. And, you know, I mean, I kind of like, this guy's smart, smart. So, you know, he's got great recall and, you know, really, really high IQ level in terms of just, you know, processing a lot of information. And, you know, I mean, he's the kind of guy that, you know, if he's got 10 projects going at once and then you're like, hey, Matt, can you do this and do that? Oh, yeah, no problem. You know, he's got 12 going at once, you know. But, I mean, some of us can only handle barely one thing at a time. You know, he's the type of guy that can, you know, keep a lot of balls in the air. So, but again, you know, he's a blue collar guy, and you know, certainly wasn't born with a silver spoon, and you know, like most players, you know, and so there's working for everything, working his way up through it. I think has an appreciation for that, and I think he relates well to those, you know, other guys who are doing the same thing.
Do you guide him because of your defensive?
Well, Matt and I have worked together for a long time, so, you know, he definitely is a, you know, huge asset to me in a number of areas. Again, both, you know, historically, you know, like, hey, this is what we did in this situation. Think about that, or should we do that again, or, you know, the timing of it and so forth. And, you know, again, over a period of years, you know, Josh is the same way. Over a period of years, you know, things that you did 5-10 years ago, I'm not saying they come up every day, but it might be, hey, remember when we did this against so-and-so, you know, back in 07 or 05 or whatever, you know, it's kind of the same thing here, you know, and, you know, for somebody that just got here last year or somebody that's, you know, been here for a year or two, I mean, there's no way, you know, that's coming up. You know, here's what we did in this situation back, you know, when we had this player, we had this, you know, and so that, you know, there's some value to that. I'm not saying it happens every day, but, you know, guys like that, Brian Dable, Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels, you know, guys that have really been here for, you know, a long time. You know, they have some of those perspectives that are really, you know, they're really good. So it's very helpful.
They understand your thinking.
Yeah, well, yeah. And again, they can, again, take a situation that happened whenever it happened, and maybe it applies to something we're doing now, and, you know, it's a good idea. Like, it was a good idea then, you know, it might be a good idea now, but maybe you're not really thinking about it, or I'm not thinking about it. So... And, you know, again, a big part of the whole staff is just working together, offense, working with the defense, and, you know, particularly defense, working with the special teams, because most of the players in the kicking game are defensive players. So, you know, working their roles together and, you know, who's active and who's doing what and how to, you know, how to make it all work together as efficiently as possible. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do, I can tell you from experience. But, you know, I wouldn't say that's as much of a thing on offense. Again, there's, you know, usually only a handful of offensive players in the kicking game. The majority of the players are on defense. But that affects your defensive game plan and the roles that those guys play and, you know, the way that plays off each other. So, you know, again, there's a lot of staff chemistry things or staff relationship things that work like that that are, you know, maybe not as obvious, but they're really important, you know, and when they don't work well, eventually it, you know, causes you problems and you're, you know, not efficient, or, you know, it's just don't get the most out of what you have. So
thanks, Coach.
Okay. Yep, thanks.